You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
What about Job? What about Jesus? Amen. So Jesus is the theme of the Bible, and He is the way you clear up inconsistencies. He is not just a prophet speaking about God. He is God speaking about Himself. Wow. And I brought this out, you know, as ministering along these lines. If Eva were standing up here and, say, Michael was standing up here and I'd written a book, you know, and they were telling you what I meant in that book, and Michael began to tell you what he thought I meant in that book, and Eva would begin to tell you what she thought I meant in that book, and I'm standing here, I go, wait a minute, guys, I wrote the book. Let me tell you what I really meant. Hello. I think we'd have to go with the guy that wrote the book, amen? And Moses didn't inspire the book, okay? It was inspired by God. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, God bless them all. I mean, I believe this is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But Jesus comes along, and He's no longer a prophet talking about the Lord. He is the Lord. See, Jesus is not just what God's saying. Jesus is not just the way God's saying it. Jesus is God saying it. Are you out there? So it's like, hands down, there's no competition here. When you see any contradictions, and there are some, I got that, I understand that, because there's men all throughout the Word of God. Some of them were obeying God. Some of them were in the will of God. Some of them misunderstood. I got that. If we had fully understood God from the Old Testament, Jesus would not have had to come. But Jesus did come, and He cleared up a lot of things. And the reason being is because God was moving through men through the Old Testament as best He could, inspired by God, prophesying by the Spirit of God. But until Jesus came, we didn't get the full picture. We were getting stick figures got a phone going off over there. Stick figures and paintings and maybe photographs, but all of a sudden Jesus shows up and He's the real deal. Hallelujah. Now listen closely. It's not heresy, because people run out and they say, oh, he didn't believe the whole Bible's the Word of God. I believe it's all God's Word. I don't believe all God's Word is God's words. Okay? And you don't either, because it quotes the devil, and that's not God's words. And it quotes Goliath when he said he was going to kill David, and that wasn't God's words. Amen? And Judas went and hanged himself. That wasn't the will of God. And there's another scripture that says, go and do the likewise. And you can't put those two together. Just a thought. Context. Amen? You got to put things in context. And the context of the Bible is Jesus. Always has been. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. Praise the Lord. Hey, real quickly, I know some of the verses I've gone over. I just want to go over them again real quick. In Colossians 2, verse 9, we started on this 2-3 weeks ago. Colossians 2:9. I love this. Aren't you glad we have the Bible? You know, the Bible is a map. It is a menu, as it were. It is a mirror. It is a map of the land, and it's a menu of what God's serving out today. Hallelujah. And you go in a restaurant, you need to get the menu, because you don't know what's being served. Without the menu of God's Word, you don't know what God's doing. You don't know what He's serving, and it's hard to place an order, as it were, or pray. If you're going to a Mexican food restaurant, you want Chinese food, you're in trouble. Hello, but if you look at the menu, you'd know that, right? And so the Bible is a menu that we can go into, especially when we pray and live our lives and look at, but it's not food. It's not the thing. I mean, I know the Word is food to us, spiritually speaking, but the Word points us to Jesus. And if we never get to Him, we miss the point. The map points us to a real place. The map's not the place. The map points us to the place. Amen? So if all you have is the Bible and you don't have Jesus, you're not going to get to heaven. The Bible takes you to Jesus. That's what Jesus said in John 5th chapter. He said, you search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So the Bible really is only the Word of God to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. Y'all sure are quiet out here. I'm just trying to help you. I'm sorry for telling you that Jesus is the message, but He is. I'm sorry for telling you that Jesus loves you and He wants a relationship with you and He's for you and He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. Hallelujah. But, you know, if you want bad news, you came to the wrong church. We preach good news here. the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Colossians 2:8-9, notice what it says. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not bits and pieces, not one side of God, not a shade just a picture, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And you are complete in him. Never said that about Moses. God bless Moses. Never said that about Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. God bless them all. Jeremiah, all of them. But you, Jesus is the one that shed his blood for our sins. Jesus was God in the flesh. Are you with me? Jesus was and is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is the message we preach. Praise God. Jesus didn't bring us a message. Jesus is the message. Hallelujah. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the final authority on everything, on all the word, everything that God says. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews 1. Some of these verses we've gone over, I know, but I want to go over them again. You know, they asked Kenneth Hagin one time, he's preaching Mark 11:23. I don't know if y'all ever heard Kenneth Hagin preach on Mark 11:23. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he preached on Mark 11:23. Goodness gracious. I heard him at Lakewood back in 1975, November 1975. In fact, Brent and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in a Kenneth Hagin meeting at Lakewood Church in 1975. And boy, the party was on. Goodness gracious. I got saved in May of 1975, baptized in the Holy Ghost, November of 1975. Then we started going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was our pastor. But I've heard Kenneth Hagin, I've read every book he ever wrote, and I've heard him preach on Mark 11:23 over and over. But somebody asked me, says, why you keep preaching on Mark 11:23? You preached on Mark 11:23 the last time you were over at this church. And he says, well, I'm just going to preach it till you get it. And when you get it, I'll move on to something else. I thought that was pretty good. You know, sometimes we repeat things, but we need to hear it over and over. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says in Hebrews 11:1, God who at sundry times and divers manners, that's King James for many ways and many manners, many times and many manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In other words, that was the vehicle or the media or the way God ministered to us was through those prophets, okay? But God, who at sundry times and divers manners time past spoken to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, or in Son. Actually, it doesn't translate good in the Greek, because it doesn't even really make any sense. If you translate word for word verbatim, he's saying he has spoken to us in Son. Well, that didn't even make sense. But it does if you'll think about it, because Jesus didn't bring a message. Jesus is the message. He's speaking to us in him. He is what he is speaking. Amen? So it's kind of hard to translate, and that's why you have by his Son there. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Wow. We're not talking about Abraham. We're not talking about Moses. We're not talking about Adam even. We're talking about the one who made the worlds, Jesus. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. No, there's not a clearer picture of God than Jesus. You'll never find a more accurate, concise picture of God than Jesus. You know, often famous people in history, people write biographies about them, you know. Goodness gracious, Winston Churchill, there's all kinds of biographies about Winston Churchill. C.S. Lewis, Christian author, there's several biographies written by different people about C.S. Lewis. And every once in a while, you'll run across one of those that's just right on. And all the relatives and all the acquaintances and people that knew him says, oh, that was the most accurate one of all of them. You know, that's the most concise, accurate picture. Well, if you want the most accurate picture of God, what God does, what God's will is, what he's behind, then you have to look at Jesus, because Jesus is the express image of his person. He's the, that word is character in the Greek, we get the word character from that. That's a Greek word, character, incidentally. And it's a stamp. It's like a logo. It's like you put your mark on something, and everybody would look at that mark, and they would know that's good stuff because it has that mark. And because of your character, you're known to put out good work. And when you look at Jesus, he has the stamp of God on him. He's the express image of God's person. And if it doesn't have the Jesus stamp on it, you need to back off. So when something happens to you, look at Jesus and see if it has that mark on it. Hello? Next time something bad happens in your life, you see Jesus doing those things in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Walk with him in the streets of Capernaum and the shores of Galilee and watch him raise the dead and cast out devils and watch him heal the sick and watch him give to the poor. Watch him stop storms, not start storms. In other words, it needs to have the stamp. It needs to have the mark of Jesus, because Jesus is the express image, the most complete picture. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and whatever God does, that's what Jesus did. Wow. Now, that would make you think twice, because a lot of things we're attributing to God's not God. I think a lot in good faith and people that love Jesus often attribute everything to God, but the Bible doesn't say God does everything. God is a particular thing. He's not everything. As soon as you make one statement about God, you negate another statement. If you say God's good, then you immediately are saying he's not bad. If he is the Lord that healeth thee, then he is not the Lord that maketh thee sick. I mean, as soon as you make one statement about God, you've negated another statement. As soon as you make one choice, I made a choice for Brenda 43 years ago. Got it right. This year will be 43 years. And when I chose her, I rejected every other woman in the world. Good choice. Good choice. Amen. So when you make a choice, you reject the other thing. When you make a statement, you make a negative statement in the same breath. You can't say God's good and God's bad. You can't say he loves me and he hates me. You can't. Those are mutually exclusive things. So you can't say God is in control of everything, God does everything. That's just gobbledygook. Come on, that's psychobabble. What, are you running for president or something? What is that? It make any sense at all? Okay. I got to stop that now. Okay. We're in church. We're trying to make sense, okay? Let's make it simple. And the Bible makes it simple. And you know what? There was confusion. There was. There's no question. God knew that. In fact, the Bible even says in John 1st chapter, it says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, you didn't get the whole truth out of Moses. You got some parts of it and bits of it, but you didn't get the whole picture. You couldn't have. You could never be saved under Moses. Do you know that? You'll never get to heaven keeping the law of Moses. The law made nothing perfect. The bringing of a better hope did. This man, Jesus, the Bible says, Acts 13:39, have justified you from all things from which you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. In other words, he did what no one else could do because he was God in the flesh. And he came along and we saw with our eyes, we beheld his glory, hallelujah. We saw him in action. We saw him loving, suffering, sighing, dying humanity. We saw him healing the sick and raising the dead. We saw him doing these wonderful miracles, and we saw him giving to the poor and stopping storms, and we saw God when we saw him. The veil was taken away all of a sudden, and we see him for who he really was, that God wasn't behind all the bad things. He wasn't doing all those things that are going on. This world is broken. This world is fallen. This world is in sin, and death reigns. It does. But there's coming a day when no one's ever going to die again. There's coming a day where old former things will pass away and all things will become new. There's coming a day where we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more dying. Not because God changed, no, because the world changed. Because he'll renew this earth, and there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, and then God will be running the thing, and then we won't have all that stuff. But right now it's not the case. He's coming, we know he is, he said he was. He's going to do something about it, he did something when he sent Jesus. But there's still a lot that goes on, it's not God. Excuse me for getting excited. It's truth nonetheless. Amen. So it says here in Hebrews 1 that he hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow. Whew, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Matthew 1. This helping you? Yeah. All I want to do is stir you up. I don't know why. If you can't get stirred up about Jesus, I don't know what you can get stirred up about. I mean, how could you not get excited? And how could you not get stirred? How could you not just feel like a man, take on the world when you hear about Jesus? Because when you hear about Jesus, you hear about God's will for you, God's love for you, God's concern for you. Hallelujah. Notice this. This is when Jesus was born. And of course, the 21st verse, first chapter says, and she, talking about Mary, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I love that. We often talk about being saved from the consequence of our sins, but actually, Jesus saves us from our sins. You know, thank God, we're not just saved from the consequence of our sins, we're saved from the power of our sins. We don't have to keep sinning. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying I don't sin. I know I can get mad and upset and have to repent like anybody else. But I'm not under the control of sin anymore. Addictions and sins and all those things that used to control me. I've been saved from my sins, not just from the consequence of them. I think we often preach the message that we're just saved from hell or saved from the result of sin. But actually, we're saved from our sins. Amen? And Jesus did that. And he goes on and says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We call him Emmanuel because it's God with us. So no longer now are we having a Moses or a Jeremiah or Ezekiel or a Daniel prophesying to us and pointing us to God. We have God with us. Wow. So how could you go wrong going with Jesus? I'd submit to you, you always go wrong when you go against Jesus. Amen. When you try to interpret the Bible outside of Jesus. See, that's the problem. We try to interpret, especially the Old Testament, many times I'll see people trying to interpret Jesus through the Old Testament, but actually you interpret the Old Testament through Jesus. It's backwards, actually. In fact, the New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. Without the revelation of the New Testament, we can't understand the Old Testament. And we're trying to understand the New Testament from the Old Testament. We got it backwards, completely turned around here. See, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jesus came along and it all started making sense. Oh, he was the water that came out of the rock. He was the manna that came down from heaven. Oh, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So now we got it. He is our Passover, is what Paul said. He is our first fruits. He is our unleavened bread. Jesus is what the Bible is all about. Woo! Man, I'm going to just preach myself happy here. Amen, amen. He is the message. Amen. Turn to John 1. This helping anybody? Amen. Y'all sure are quiet. Hallelujah. Y'all thinking about tacos we're going to have here in a little bit? In John, the first chapter, this is fascinating here. I love this. John, the first chapter says, in the beginning was the Word. And that word in the Greek is logos, okay? I've often heard, and maybe you've heard it too, and there's some truth to it. It's not exactly true. But I've often heard that logos is the written word and rhema is the spoken word. That's not always the case. You can't always make that work in the New Testament because Jesus is the logos. He's not the written word. He is a live, living word. Are you with me? And sometimes when it's talking about revelation, it'll even use the word logos. But most of the time when it says rhema, it's talking about spoken word. And most of the time when it says logos, it's talking about the written word. But not every case. Definitely not in this case. It says, in the beginning was the Word, because in the beginning was not the written Word. Are you with me? In the beginning was the Word spoken, actually. And in this case, the embodiment of this Word was Jesus. Jesus was called the Word in the beginning. He's the Logos. And the Word, Logos, was with God, and the Logos was God. Everybody say, was God. Okay. So Jesus is not a God. Jesus is God. Get it? There's no definite article there. You can't say, and the word was a God. No, the word is God. Jesus is God. Now this Greek word logos is interesting. I'll give you a little lesson. We get the word logic from it. Logos, logic, you know. And what do you have on a company that identifies your company from everybody else? It's called a logo. You've seen those? We got a logo on our church, IOC, you know, shining light to the world, you know, with a little light over a world there. That's our logo. You know, Apple has a logo with an apple and a bite taken out of it. You know, and on and on and on. You can think of many logos out there. Chevrolet's got a logo. Ford's got a logo. You know, that identifies that company, right? You immediately know that logo. Logic is reasoning. It's the logic or the reasoning of life, if you put it that way. So when you think of meaning, logic, or the complete thought of something, you know, like psychology, psyche is the mind, logi, L-O-G-Y, that means the study of the complete thought, the reasoning, the logic behind the mind. They would call that psychiatry or psychology. Psychology. So that's what it always means, and we can see that in the scripture, that what John is saying here is that Jesus is the reasoning of God. He is the thought of God, a complete thought of God. He's the logic of God. He's what makes sense of God. You can even equate that to your own life. You know, some years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, 1975. I remember I was working at Upjohn Chemical in Pasadena, Texas. Actually, Upjohn Chemical was in Deer Park, Texas. I was living in Pasadena. But this guy was witnessing to me for several months, and I finally accepted Jesus. But what I did, I came home one day. We were living in Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff in Pasadena, Texas. And Brenda was working at downtown Houston, and Chris was in the daycare, and I had to go pick him up a little later that day. And I had been trying to be good for a few days, trying to make sense of my life, and it wasn't making any sense. I came out of drugs and jails and kind of a wild lifestyle. And I realized there was a God. It went through a transition. Then I realized that the Bible's probably true. And I realized there's a hell, and I was probably going there. And I realized there was a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. And I finally got down to the point where I realized I needed Jesus. You know, big revelation. But I wasn't in church. I mean, this guy was witnessing to me. I started reading the Bible, but I didn't know anything about God at all. And I tried to be good. I tried to, you know, put my drugs up and not say a cuss word for about 3 days. And wasn't working. But anyway, I didn't realize at the point that it's not what you quit, it's what you get. Are you out there? I thought I could be good enough. I couldn't. And I remember in desperate straits coming in from work that day, and I laid down in the hallway there of those apartments, and first time I ever remember really calling on God and using the name of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, if you can help me, I can't do this. I remember saying that. So I actually, what I did, you know, when you come to Jesus, generally it's not, you're usually giving up, you're usually quit fighting. In other words, I unstrapped my pistols, as it were, and laid them down. Unloaded my knives and everything, you know. I quit fighting because I was fighting God. And how do you fight God? How do you fight love? I couldn't fight that. And so I quit running. The hound of heaven was on my trail, and I was getting tired of running. And so I quit. I just gave up, and I looked up. I gave up, and I looked up, and I called on Jesus. And all of a sudden, my life started making sense. It started having purpose. Yeah. See, because before I didn't have the purpose and the sense of the universe, who is Jesus. The logic of the universe, the logic of God, the reasoning of God, the complete thought of God is only in Jesus. And you know what? Your life will never make sense until you get him in your life. Because he is what God is all about. He is God. And all the philosophers of all throughout history have been trying to find the meaning of life. Well, it's not the meaning, it's who is the meaning of life. What is the meaning? No, who is the meaning of life? Jesus is the meaning of life. Jesus is the logic of the universe. He is the complete thought of everything. He makes sense of everything. When you're confused, go to Jesus. Amen. When it doesn't make sense, come to Him. He's the one who puts it all together and makes sense of everything. He is the logic. He's the sense, the complete thought. If I could just sum God up in one word, Jesus. Let's make it simple. Let's pull all the pieces together and give you a clear picture here. Who is God? What does God do? What does God want? How does God see me? Jesus. Amen? That's what God wants. That's how God sees us. That's what God's about. That's what God will do. That's what God is saying. Jesus. He's the complete thought of God. The complete picture. The express image of His person. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is not something we preach about. He is who we preach. And He's who we present and offer to the world. Hallelujah. He's who we represent, praise God. Jesus is. So, He's the reason, the meaning, the logic, the complete thought of God. And He puts the reason, the meaning, the logic, the complete thought in your life and gives you purpose. Amen. John 1, while you're there in John, notice what it says. I guess I ought to turn there. I got to tell them a testimony. I never even turned there. In John, the first chapter, best thing ever happened to me is when I accepted Jesus. I have never regretted that experience in my life. My children are all serving God. My grandchildren are all serving God. I am going to heaven. Hallelujah, somebody. I missed hell, and I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to live with God forever. And I've had joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've had experience after experience that I would never trade, never, ever, ever trade. Have there been battles? Sure, yeah. There's been battles and crisis and loss. But you know, I've had victory, and I've had gain, and I've had pluses, and I've had purpose, and I got a reason to get up in the morning. And I got a future that's so bright, I got to wear shades. Hallelujah. John 1st chapter, notice what it says in the 14th verse. And the Word, he just got through the same chapter now, he's talking about the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This complete thought and logic and meaning of God took on flesh and dwelt among us. Well, you know who he's talking about. Jesus. So when Jesus came along, he was the embodiment of all that God is. He was the embodiment of all that God meant and all the logic of God and all the meaning of God. It was all wrapped up in him. He was all the scriptures, yeah, all the prophecies of the Old Testament made flesh. But more than that, he was the complete thought of God made flesh. He was more than just the Old Testament. He was everything the Old Testament left out. Everything that didn't get covered. Everything that didn't get cleared up. He came and he cleared it up. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes on down, he says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was born 6 months after John, but he had always existed before John. And that's what John was saying. He said, he came after, but he was before me. Amen. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Man, I love that. If anything you got in Jesus, you got favored. That's what grace is. You got grace and you got favor. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The impact of that statement, I don't think we chew on that as we should. You cannot get the whole truth out of Moses. You can get some truth. Are you with me? You can get some truths, but the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, you got to have Jesus. Without Jesus, you don't get the whole truth. You got bits, you got pieces, but Jesus comes along and man, the puzzle starts coming together. The fog starts dissipating and we see clearly now. As that song goes, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. It's not a hymn, but I mean, it's a true story. I see clearly now the rain is gone. Amen. He goes on and says this. He says, the Word made flesh dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John bare witness to him and cried, oh, let's see, where there's actually another one I want to get to. Yeah, the law was 17th verse. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. Now, this is interesting because Moses did see God. 75 elders saw him at one time. He appeared to Abraham, appeared to many people, but nobody really fully understood him, is what he's saying. Nobody really saw God. They saw his appearance. He appeared to them. But until Jesus came along, we really didn't see God. Y'all catching this? It's a metaphor in one sense when I say, do you see that? You know, I just used a metaphor. I know I didn't ask you if you opened your eyes and saw it. I meant, did you understand it? Oh, I see that. That means you get it, you understand it, okay? So no man has seen God at any time, but physically he'd been seen many times. The Bible records that, several instances of that. But no man has really seen or understood him. Nobody has. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, we didn't really see him till Jesus came. Y'all get it? He is the true meaning of Scripture. He is who God is. He is what God is doing. He is what God is saying. He is God saying it. Hallelujah. So if you're ever confused, well, go look at Jesus. If you ever get a little contradiction made with Scripture here, Scripture there, listen, it's all the Bible. I got that. I got no problem with that. But Jesus is the theme, and he is the legend of the map. He's the one that clears up all the inconsistencies. And if you don't get to him, just having Scripture is not going to save you. You got to get to Jesus. And I don't know why, but he's crazy about you. Absolutely loves you. Amen. Waiting for your call. Hallelujah. Waiting for you to cry out to him, wanting to move in your life, wanting to make you the best you could ever be. Hallelujah. Give you purpose, meaning in life, give you a reason to get up in the morning. He is the reasoning of life. He is the logic of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah. Woo! Did that help you this morning? Amen. Jesus, that's who we preach. Jesus, what we preach and who we preach.